well as we can to all of those. And I think we have Paul on the line. Paul?
Yes,
welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Super.
Good. Last week you were talking about this transmitter that the Soviets have.
Many transmitters.
I believe you it said that it was the ATF transmitters.
No, it's an ELF transmitter. There are 36 of them, we know, that are in the vicinity of Riga in the Soviet Union. They are pumping into the earth ELFs at between 8 and 10 hertz. Now, that's an extremely low frequency is
right.
What ELF means. Each one of those transmitters are about 1,000,000 watts apiece. Now, they're doing that evidently to control weather patterns in the Soviet Union, because whenever you start pumping in that kind of energy into the Earth and letting the Earth now resonate that kind of energy, you can develop standing waves. And these great standing waves really do present a barrier to weather, for instance. Weather patterns can't move the way they should, and the Soviets want the weather to move back in or up into their agricultural areas where they've been having severe drought problems over the last 15 or 20 years. Now, the problem with that is that those ELF waves happen to come right over here into the United States of America.
Yeah.
Particularly into the northwestern part of the United States of America. Washington and Oregon. Eugene seems to be a focal point of this in areas just east of Eugene, Oregon. And whenever you are pumping long ELF waves like this, that happens to be at the same frequency that the mind resonates. Your mind and my mind, we resonate. That's an earth frequency. And if you start putting little subcarriers on that, which we call woodpeckers, you know, the Soviets understood that they can do that. You can put a woodpecker sound on that.
Sort of subliminal suggestion?
If you are resonating the human mind with a frequency that it ordinarily works at, and you're now controlling that frequency, you can subcarrier that frequency and start affecting the emotions of the human being involved that is receiving that. Now, some people are more susceptible to that than others, but you can make them very happy, you can make them very sad, you can make them die. And we're seeing that happen in the northwestern part of the United States right now. Now, that's augmented by the fact that in the northwestern part of the United States, there is an awful lot of high-tension grids. There's a huge grid system over there, which for some reason or another seems to amplify the whole thing.
Hmm.
But you won't find too many happy people in the northwestern part of the United States right now until they get out of there. They visit their relatives and friends. I talk to people all of the time that have moved up there, or their daughters and sons have moved up there, and all at once they have an enormous personality change.
I have my cousin is in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. and he just got restationed up to Bangor, Washington. And I told him about this, and he said, God, I've never heard anything about it. What I wonder about is why there's no talk about this.
There's a great deal of talk about it. There are books written about it. The government is well aware of it. There was a little town outside of Eugene, Oregon, that they had to even seal off because everybody in there just went nuttier than a fruitcake.
What are some of the books that you might be able to read that...
I would suggest that probably the best information that you can get on it is from the Tesla Book Company in Millbrae, California. I don't have the address with me right now, but John Ratzlaff is up there. He has a number of papers that have been written by people like Tom Bearden, Bill Bice. I don't know whether Dr. Robert Beck has written on it, but Bob Beck is totally familiar with the problem. Last week we had Andrea Poharic here, and he is extremely familiar with the problem.
Yeah, they suppressed the book that he wrote about it.
Well, they may
have,
but I think that book suppression thing is gone. We really don't care about writing books anymore because networking is a much bigger thing than publishing books is.
Uh-huh.
If you want to write something now, probably the last thing to do is to publish it. Yeah,
right.
You can write it, get it in the network, and you'll have 100 times more people read it than you would if you published a book. You know, the publishing business is passe.
Well, it's a completely fascinating thing to me. I was driving home last weekend and was blown away by the fact that this could actually be going on. And maybe I'm not tuned into the right network, but I had never heard anything about it. No one I knew had never heard anything about it.
Aren't you glad you tuned in?
You bet. I tried to talk to Ira about it, and they wouldn't let me do that.
Well, you know, I love Ira. He's a very, very good friend of mine, but Ira doesn't understand these things.
Well, that's that's the way it goes, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Saturday night. It's Open Mind, and I'll be right back with you. The lines are open to you, and we'll talk about anything. As far I rarely get out, but Thursday, this coming Thursday, I will be speaking before the Southern California Society of Psychical Research, and I would like to have it each and every one of you come. It's a night with Bill Jenkins, and I'll talk to you a little bit about the Open Mind Show and the things that I have had, and we'll have a rather large question and answer period. Those people are incredible. I solidly endorse the society. I'm a member of the society, and I would like for you to come. They are out in, I used to say Beverly Hills, but they've moved out to Thousand Oaks. And if you want to call them out there in Thousand Oaks and find out how you can come, it's right down in the Wilshire District in the California Federal Building is where we're going to be doing it, in the Garden Room. And I'd like to see each and every one of you there this coming Thursday night, the 21st, a night with Bill Jenkins. Okay, we have Jill on the line. Jill, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm okay.
I wanted to ask you something. Do you know anything about a spiritual teacher named Mr. Brewjoy?
Mr. Brewjoy is one of the finest metaphysical humanist probably alive today. He has saved lives. He has brought joy into other lives. Brew has been able to develop in people who have great infirmities, for instance, a whole new respect for the life that they have, even though it's incapacitated, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have been able then to go on and become an inspiration for people that are normal. Now, Brewjoy is one of our really, really fine people, and I would love to have Brew on the show. His books are enormously good, and I would recommend that you read each and every one of them. He is a gentle, delightful man.
Is that what he teaches? Like,
he talks that, or? You know, he will teach you about your great inner strength and your great spirituality. He is a great spiritual teacher. Now, when I use the word spirituality here, I'm not talking religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking real spirituality, and there's a difference between religion and real spirituality in my estimation. But he certainly is going to show you how that there is much more to you than what you think there is. And he can do some marvelous things because he can show you how to tap the inner strength and the inner energy that you have that we talk about so much on this show. I could go into a 30-minute dissertation on Brewjoy. I think that Brewjoy is just incredible.
Oh, well, the reason I asked you is a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a really long time stopped in L.A. last night on her way to Egypt with Brewjoy, and she was at his two-week Hawaii
mm-hmm.
conference, and we only had such a short time that I really didn't get a chance to understand what it was he was involved in. I'm really glad you knew who he was.
If you spend some time with Brewjoy, it'll be a miraculous change in your life. Not that Brewjoy has done anything magical, but you have. You have begun to understand the magic that is about you.
Really?
And he is very, very good in bringing that out.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. And if I get a chance to meet him, I'll definitely call you and tell you about it.
And tell Brew I'd like to have him on the show.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to hear him.
But I can't find him.
Well, he's in London right now, and they're going to
meet him. I know, he's all over the world.
But they're coming back. Anyway, I'll find out.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Jill. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Walt, you're on with Bill Jenkins tonight.
Yes, Bill. I'm a devoted fan of the program, and I like the subject matter very much. I've listened to you from the beginning. Okay, here we go. We have an inventors group, and we talked about the tachyon motorcycle and all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, the witching time is here.
Mm-hmm.
You, personally, I don't know, but I know Michael Jackson is in the big money, and he has this young man, Jim Hall, that's the editor of Motor Trend, on as a guest. It has nothing to do with the Open Mind, but you know what I'm getting at. How come one of you three can't take just hop a Lufthansa to Germany? Come on. Just a measly grand or two out of your pocket and bring one back and keep it in the KAB. So I came by on La Cienega again tonight, right near Seas Candy there, near Petco.
Right.
And I keep thinking, well, gee, that'd be wonderful. Let's put that motorcycle and let us all see it. Just one. Now bring it back from Germany, will you? Because you've kind of... You're making a fool out of me because I
Walt, you're reading my storyboard. Because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, boy, do it. I saw you at the Spirit Mind Body Convention, but you were too busy with people and everything, you know, and like that. But we'll...
No, I'm having one of the solo motorbikes brought over.
Are you?
I am at my own expense.
Because you see, because we who like you and hear your message, then we tell others about it, and then we're left hanging a wee bit, see? You follow?
Well, you know, it's taken a while, Walt.
Yeah.
For a lot of people to understand what we do on this radio program.
Yes.
And the radio program is now what we would call an unqualified success.
Oh, yes.
It really is. The new ratings on it, thanks to you and the others, make it one of the top five or six shows in the Los Angeles area.
Okay.
And certainly it's number one in this time period in the country.
So
we can begin to do some things, and it's being recognized. Now, like next weekend,
yes.
I'm going to have a car out in the parking lot here at the radio station that gets 200 miles to the gallon.
Uh-huh.
And you're invited to come down and look at it. In fact, busloads of people are already coming in. We may have a little traffic jam down here in La Cienega.
This next weekend.
But, Stephen Reed will be here with his car that gets 200 miles to the gallon.
Uh-huh.
And, by the way, he made the car out of things that you can go down and buy. You know, there's no great technology involved here. There is a lot of technology, but, I mean, it's nothing exotic, let's put it that way. Not only that, it'll withstand a crash at 50 miles an hour. Now, Stephen has, as I'll be talking to Stephen, he has a lot of things that he wants to do about that car. Why aren't the automotive companies doing that, and he is even sued in court, which has a case pending in the Superior Court, to make a car that will withstand a 50-mile-an-hour crash. You can do it with stuff in your garage. Make a car that goes 200 miles to the gallon. You can do it with stuff in your garage. And so we will be talking about that, and you're certainly invited to come down. Everybody is. And I'm going to try to bring... If the West German government will let us bring one of those solo motorbikes out, we're going to get it over here and stick it out in the...
Or at least a little motor connected to a generator that'll make lights go.
I got to bring the motorbike over.
Okay, that's more convincing.
The other thing that they have is something that you hook into the house and it runs your electrical heating system.
Yeah.
Now, I can't bring one of those over, but we can bring the motorbike over. And besides, I'd like to have the motorbike myself.
You discuss Tesla all the time, and,
yes.
And there is another big publishing firm right here, but I'm not going to mention their name. I know better.
And, yeah, go ahead and mention them. It's all right.
Okay, I think it's Omni Publications in Hawthorne,
mm-hmm.
and they're big, and they have all of the Tesla things, and I get driven up the wall because you never mention the home team, And he distributes at a bookstore like the Bodhi Tree and places like that, too.
Is that Omni?
I believe it's Omni, and I believe it is. But the point is, they're here in Lawndale or Hawthorne, see?
Well, have them get a hold of me, because if we've got somebody in our own backyard doing those things...
Yes. I even told you to write you.
They're on my team,
Oh, yes.
Because right now we talked to my good friend John Ransliff up in Millbury. That's up in San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
And if we've got them here, and they're getting into this thing and they're putting that into the system... the networking system, the underground system, or the above ground system, I don't care. I'm totally in favor of them, and I'll give them every break I possibly can.
Okay. Well, it's real good to talk to you. I'm not going to hold you out anymore.
All right, Walt. I thank you very much for your call.
Yep.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on a Saturday night. We're 26 minutes past the... Brenda, you're with me here tonight, right?
Hello, dear.
Hi.
First of all, I went to the Ambassador Hotel a few weeks ago and saw that car.
What did you think about that?
And I talked to Stephen Reed.
Did you?
And my mind was blown.
Stephen is something else, isn't he?
Stephen is one of the straightest, most honest, most high integrity, sincerest people I think I've ever encountered.
Here's a man that has a car that gets 200 miles per gallon, can withstand a 50-mile-an-hour crash, and he does not want any money. You know, he's not trying to sell his car. He's trying to get the ideas brought into the mainstream of the automotive industry. Doesn't want to make a dime out of it.
And the space that he's really coming from is that he's really on a moral crusade to prove the little man still counts in the United States of America.
And you know he has a lot of trouble doing that?
Well, my impression was that it was just a matter of time.
We'll do it. We'll put Stephen on here. We'll talk to a lot of people. I want Stephen to get as much publicity as he can and what he's doing. And the car, the ideas that he's come up with. You know, it may not be the car that somebody wants to make, but it can be done, you see.
Have you seen the car?
Yes, the little, it's a...
The real sharp-looking car.
You probably wouldn't want to buy it to run around the neighborhood because that's an experimental car.
Yeah, but, I don't think it'll be an experimental car very far down the road.
But the thing, it's kind of low, you know, it's only about a half inch off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't get over some of the roads, I know, and
yeah.
That's not the purpose of the car. But the purpose of the, you know, there are facets of the car that could be employed. And if it'll get 200 miles to the gallon, and then we can get into the energy crisis and all the other things, it'll be a little bit of a departure for us next week when Stephen is here.
So he's going to be on the show?
Oh, yes.
That's
Stephen will be here. The car will be in the parking lot. And you're invited to come down and see
I'll
it.
I'll come down. Bill, the reason I called you tonight is something real interesting is going on in my family right now.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, my grandmother died.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, who incidentally is just one of those natively real psychic people, was sitting on the edge of the bed last night about 3 o'clock in the morning smoking a cigarette. And lo and behold, the lady appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And the family has been in a slight tiz today because we're a pretty middle-class family and this kind of thing is not really acceptable.
That happened last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
Did she have anything important that she wanted to tell us?
I beg your pardon?
Did she tell him anything important?
This is what I wanted to talk to you about because what I wanted to do was kind of throw it open to anybody that might be listening that might have any ideas on it. She came back 3 times, was trembling from head to toe and kept holding out her hand to him. And the feeling that he got from her was that she is stuck in a real bad space and is trying to get on with it, but doesn't know where she is or what to make of it.
Was he able to communicate with her at all?
When he spoke aloud to her, she disappeared, and then he sat there a while longer. First thought he was sleeping, you know, got up and started doing that number, going around and turning on lights and making sure that he was not hallucinating or dreaming or something.
We always do that, you know, if you have little things that are outside of your reality box, even if they're the perception of your own senses, you decide that you're going crazy or hallucinating.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about that a lot. What your father experienced there is not unusual at all. It happens all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The manifestation of a long one is not really, is not necessarily a figment of your imagination. It could very well be happening.
Mm-hmm.
You should talk to Raymond Bayless or Chuck Moses at the Society of Psychical Research.
That's what I thought, too. My mom and I were thinking about Thelma Moss, and I had attended
I had attended a
seminar of the psychical research people and was really impressed by their credibility.
They're no-nonsense people.
So this is Ray Bayless.
Raymond Bayless. Chuck Moses. Liz McAdams. All the people of the Society. And by the way, I had a request to repeat the fact that I'm going to be speaking before the Society on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the CalFed building. We call the Society, and you can find out how to get over there. I'd love to have you
all
along.
Right.
And you will find some of the most dedicated and very, very serious, no-nonsense kind of people that get into this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very good for your father to talk to them because this is really not that unusual an occurrence. Now, he needs to learn that communication.
Yeah, he's okay on it. What we're concerned about is how to help her. He's okay on it.
Well, you have to be able to communicate with her and find out what her problem is.
Yeah.
I doubt if she's stuck someplace. There's something she wants to say that she feels is important.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
For calling. Appreciate it, Brenda. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Saturday night. It's open mind, and our lines are open to you. You are my guest. And let's you and I get it on, shall we? You know, problems with Tina Barber. Tom's here tonight. Tom Hall will have a delightful evening for you all night long, and I want you to join Tom. Always. Always a provocative time. We have a provocative time tonight, just you and me. It's one of those rare kind of moments. I don't get a chance to visit with just you. I always have a guest here. I want to bring you new things and bring people of the highest kind of credentialed order to talk to you. You may not agree with them, but you can't take any pot shots at my guest, usually. You can take pot shots at me all you want to, and perhaps Jennifer will. Jennifer, what's on your mind?
I'm not going to take a pot shot. Hi. I love your show.
Thank you very much.
I think the title is very apropos because it's really opened my mind, I think.
It's opened mine.
The thing I'd like to talk to you about is this whole thing about Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could maybe explain a little bit about it. I've heard a little bit of what you've said, and the reason why I'm really interested in it is I'm a musician, and for the past 2 summers, for 2 weeks each summer, I have attended a music festival in Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
And after listening to you a little bit about the things that go on, I mean, I was noticing that there were definite changes in the way I am when I'm up there than the way I am when I'm in Los Angeles.
That's very interesting, Jennifer, that you tell me that. Now, you go up there for 2 weeks, and you notice a change in your...
Your
pattern.
Yeah, my sleep pattern is really different. I need about 8 hours of sleep, and I feel really tired if I don't get that. There, I can go... I usually go on 4 hours a night, and I'm wired. I don't need sleep. And the first summer I was there, I know I had a very close friend that went up with me, and we fought like cats and dogs, and we got back to Los Angeles, and we were fine.
Stop fighting. You're finding what you're being subjected to, particularly in Eugene, Oregon, mm-hmm. is some very powerful ELF waves that are originating out of the Soviet Union. They're not doing anything, they're not really trying to upset the people in Eugene, Oregon. They're doing it for other reasons, I suppose. But nevertheless, it does affect the people in Eugene, Oregon, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
That whole area. And I'm yet to talk to anybody who is not greatly affected when they go in that area and spend some time in that area. And if you notice the people in that area, they are down.
Yeah.
They're not up. That doesn't mean that they don't laugh and they don't enjoy it, because some people are more susceptible to the influence of a pumped-in ELF wave. You know what I mean by when I say ELF wave?
I think so.
Extremely low frequency.
Oh, yes. Okay.
All right. And that's it running at between 8 and 10 hertz, which is what your mind ordinarily operates at.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural resonated frequency of your mind. Now, if that is being, or if you've got extra energy coming in that way, that can begin to start affecting you. Now, the Russians have learned, because of it's kind of a byproduct or something to do, that they can put little woodpecker signals on those, or they can put subcarriers on that ELF frequency, and they can start really messing with your mind, and they have been.
Yeah, it's very, I just feel different when I'm up there.
Everybody does.
Just like a different personality.
And by the way, the United States government is aware of that, and they're trying to counter that by ELFs of their own from Washington State and from some other locations, which we've seen some real ELF wars going on in the northern part of the Pacific Ocean. Now, that has really bad after effects, because that stops the weather patterns from going up into the Arctic Ocean and coming back down. They start coming right straight across the Pacific Ocean and do considerable damage here in the United States.
Wow.
We may have seen that just recently, because the weather patterns won't go up there, because they can't go up there because of all of this energy that is being broadcast into the air. It creates standing waves.
Wow.
I would hope that here in the next while... Although this show is booked way ahead, but if I can get Dr. Bob Beck on, and if I can get Bill Bice on, we'll try to do a full and complete show on the ELF problem. It is an enormous problem. Most people don't realize how serious it is.
I wonder if the people in Eugene know.
Yes.
Basically.
Well, they should know.
Yeah. Also, I'm going back this summer. My husband and I both are in June. And is there... I think he was mentioning that you had said once there's some kind of little transmitter you can wear to...
Yes. Dr. Patrick Flanagan will be on here in a couple of weeks with me again. He builds a little transmitter. You know, it's a commercial item for him that produces an ELF wave that resonates very naturally. Now, your body will respond to it because it's a little more powerful than the one that you're receiving. And by the way, we're getting them here in Southern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But not to the intensity they are up in the Northwest.
Uh-huh.
And this one is a harmless ELF wave, so it's not going to affect you anyway. What it's going to do is let your body respond to it rather than to the other one that's coming in. And any subcarriered frequencies that are coming in on the ELF is not going to be... Your body won't pay any attention to them. Its range is about 3 to 4 feet, so you have to keep it close to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
How do you get in touch with this person?
With Patrick Flanagan?
Yeah.
His laboratory is in Tucson, and I don't have his address here with me right now, but you can call broadcast information, talk to Lita Mack, our delightful Lita Mack, who takes care of all of our people. She'll give you the address.
Okay. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
It's Saturday night. It's Open Mind, and as you see, we will try to stretch yours just a little bit. I'll be back with you in just a moment. On the Open Mind Show, it's kind of our open forum night. You and I have a chance to get together, and Jackie is on the line. Jackie, what's up?
I love your show. I love it the best of all on the KABC.
Well, how nice of you.
And it's really nice. I sometimes rush home for a date so I can hear it.
You know, Jackie, I got to tell you something. The new ratings came out.
Yeah.
And because of you and many of you like you, it is phenomenal. The ratings that you and I have put together here. It's a major show in Los Angeles, and it's number one in its time period in the country.
Great. I believe
And I have to thank each and every one of you, and I didn't want that to pass. I appreciate the support that you have given just by listening.
It's marvelous. I have a question. I have a little bit of confusion. About a month ago, you had a couple on that to a thorough study of the Old Testament, possibly the New, and they equated some of the occasions with populating from another planet.
You're talking about Lee and Vivian Gladden, who have written a book called Heirs of the Gods.
Well,
Lee and Vivian Gladden are probably the most, the world's greatest experts in the science of etymology. This is the study of words and where they come from and their whole meaning. And what they have done in going to the Bible, using that. Now, we're not using the King James Version of the Bible, things like, we're getting back into the very, very original text, is that the Bible seems to be giving us an encoded message that we wouldn't understand until we had reached a certain level of sophistication or understanding. And that message is quite spectacular, yeah.
Well, didn't they mention that they believe that there was a populating from another planet?
Yes.
Well,
the Bible seems to be in. Now, let me refer to their research.
All right.
Is very, very specific about the fact that there were a group of people that came here about 40,000 years ago, give or take 10, 12, you know,
yeah,
11,000 years ago, to colonize this planet. They came from the constellation Butes. Their planet was in orbit around the star Arcturus. The planet's name was Maseroth. And they started colonizing this planet. Now, they didn't do it by bringing their people down here and letting them run amok. They came down and took the indigenous life forms that we had on the planet and combined their DNA molecules with their own and developed a hybrid, or a hybrid species, the human being. Which is we know today, which is what you and I are. Now, according to the Bible, that's where we came from.
Well, where my confusion is, did these people from this planet supposedly intermingle only with the people from the Middle East or our total Earth?
No, their experiment started in the Middle East in an area that it stretches from what we would look at now as Israel. Are around Jerusalem, from the Mediterranean coast. It went east for a while, and then dogleg to the southeast, right down the fertile Crescent Valley that is formed by the Tigris and Euphrates River, and went all the way down to the Persian Gulf. And that whole area was an experimental area, which they actually sealed off, again, according to the Bible, so that not even weather could come in, or microbes, or anything else. It was a controlled experiment to develop the new hybrids, or the new ones, which were the human beings.
This I don't quite understand. It seems rather ethnocentric. I am Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
But I feel with people doing studies of this or having interpretations of this nature that they've somehow left out some of the very grand cultures that our world has had, the Far East. What about Indian China? And what about their holy literature? What does it say of this nature?
Also, their study has pointed out that wasn't the only group that was coming up at that time. Some others were started for reasons of slavery. or just to get work done, particularly in the Indus Valley and in the Swan Valley of China, the Nile Valley of Africa. But the Bible deals with this particular group that started, and there were a lot of complications because of the other groups that were there.
People that were started in the Indus Valley and places for slaves, what was the work done for whom? For the kingdoms, for the civilizations?
No, for the celestials that were there. They wanted to mine the area, get the natural resources. They created these life forms to do their menial work. And then they left, and those life forms, of course, continued to propagate. Later on, although there were great efforts made not to intermingle, they did intermingle. In fact, the whole planet now has intermingled, so it's okay.
Oh, fine. I feel better. It just seemed a rather ethnocentric approach to me. I wondered why they didn't bring up the holy literatures of the Far East.
Well, one of the reasons they didn't is because they were dealing specifically with what we call the Bible. And bringing out the etymology of what the Bible is really telling us, which is a lot different thing than what Jerry Farwell is telling us, for instance.
Well, yes, I should hope to say.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Glad to have you aboard. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Saturday night. It's Open Mind. I'll be back with you in a moment. 9% on the new link.
I heard a brief news item this morning regarding this supposedly new Shroud of Turin that appeared in an operating room in Georgia. And I just wondered if you had any brief comments or additional information to give me about that incident. And supposedly the story goes that, I guess the gentleman was in an operating, I think, room with his wife who was delivering, I think. And I'm not clear on all the terms, but he'd seen, I guess, the figure of Christ in the door, and left an impression on the door there after the incident.
Well, Malcolm, I'm not familiar with the story down in Georgia at all. I know what the Shroud of Turin is, and there's
right.
no question
well,
about it. Stuart McBenny thinks it may be what it is. We just ran out of time. Can you get back to me on that next week, and I'll try to look it up and find out what's going on, all right?
There's a lot of people supposedly going down there for the religious aspect
of it. We'll find out about it. I thank you for calling. I'm Bill Jenkins. We'll see you next week.